Today. Hey, thanks for joining us. I'm Jim Herr. I'm one of the program managers for Pro Integration from Redmond. We brought a good chunk of our team today. So I got Jeff Holland with us from our Logic Apps team and John Fancy that kind of crosses over a lot of our products, particularly Logic Apps on the enterprise integration offering, as well as BizTalk Server, and then Kevin Lamb. Stand up, Kevin. Kevin didn't wear the right colored shirt today, so
we wouldn't let him on stage. We said, get in the chair.
But Kevin's been our booth babe this week, so drawing people in. So, anyways, we make up the Pro Integration team, which has been around for just about a year now. We reorganized and put all of the various products together under one team, and so I'll be talking a little bit about that today. So before I get started, I'm just kind of curious, how many of you are BizTalk users? Just to kind of get an idea. Congratulations, we love you.
We do.
BizTalk isn't dead, by the way, in case anybody was worrying. BizTalk is not dead. And how about Logic Apps? How many of you have used Logic Apps?
Great.
Okay. API management?
A good mix.
That.
All right, cool. Service Bus, Azure Service Bus. All right, raise your hand if you've used all four of those. All right, so
there we go. Cool.
All right, you guys are
no surprises though. It's the people I would have expected to raise their hands up.
Yeah, you guys are the power users. Cool. Well, thank you for that support. How many of you have not used Logic Apps? Just so. Okay, sweet.
Good.
Cool.
Yet you forgot to clarify that.
Yeah. Well. Yes, before this session. So, as you can see, these guys are used to giving me a lot of, we call it shit in the United States. And so they will continue to do so even though I'm on stage and this is being recorded. So it'll live forever. My grandkids will say, what was that, those guys in the blue shirt giving you such bad time for?
Have you called your grandkids while
Grandpa,
you've been out here, by the way?
Yeah. Okay, so... So with that, you can see this team is very, very close. Also back in Redmond, we have even more folks on the team. We have Paul Larson, who is on our host integration services, is on our team, as well as Tord Nordahl, who is also on our BizTalk. I got that right, sort of. I'm sorry. Oh, and then Vladimir. Yes, thank you. I was getting there. And then Vladimir, hold me cards up, Kevin. Okay, and then Vladimir from our API management product. So we're glad to be here. And one of the main things, the reason why we come is it's important. We believe it's really important to get out of Redmond and visit with all of you what they are here. And then we're splitting up the team next week, and some of us are going to Sydney and some of us are going to Melbourne having one-on-ones with customers. So so part of our charter is not only to try to really build you great software, but also to make sure we're building great software that our customers want, and also to hear feedback on things, the minor adjustments and things that we have to make. Okay, so that's a little bit about us. What we'd like you to walk away with today is we're going to be talking a lot about our hybrid integration platform. This is probably, by the way, all of this content is all new over the last 12 months. So unless you've been really paying close attention, you probably have never heard a lot of everything that we're doing. We started working on this strategy in February of last year and started rolling it out in London in May, and then started bringing products to support the strategy after that. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about the hybrid integration platform and what that consists of and where we're going with that. And we also want to really talk about the fact that we really see our Azure Logic Apps product as the connective tissue between all of integration, both on-premise and in the cloud, as well as talking to Microsoft products, Azure services, as well as just all kinds of other applications, both line-of-business applications, first-line-of-business applications, as well as popular SaaS-based products. So we really believe that the one thing that's causing pain, when we meet with CIOs and CTOs, enterprise architects, on a weekly basis, and one of the things that's really causing them pain is they need to get to the speed of business. Right? I mean, they are just constantly moving too slow. And when we really look at it, what's really causing that to be slow is all of the integration work that has to be done. And so one of our charters over the past year is trying to figure out how can we make integration faster? How can we make it more, you know, how can we really help you guys do things really in a much less reduced amount of time? So that's really been our charter. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're actually going to show you some really cool things today. By the way, both Jeff and John promised that as a reward for all of you being in this session, you're going to see the best product demos at Ignite. Right now, in this next hour, you're going to see the best product.
That?
Right? Right? Exactly. You guys are going to, they're bringing their A game today. So, and we have some really cool demos, some of them that you've never seen before, or many, all of them that you've never seen before. And then we're just going to really show you how to do things a lot faster. I mean, I've said it twice, I'm going to say it three times, you're going to hear it one more time out of me, and that is that we're constantly trying to figure out how to allow you to be more efficient, how to do things faster, how to get it done, how to just wow your IT organizations, or if your partner's in the room, how to wow your customers with you got that done a lot faster. Another thing you're going to be hearing about is as we really think about integrations, we're now introducing a concept called smart integrations, where we can really take advantage of some of the additional Azure services that once we create those integrations, how do we add value to the business by tapping into machine learning and cognitive services? So we're going to be doing some of that. So there it is. I think how many times you see the word faster in there, right? A bunch. And so that is really the message that we want to make sure that we land today. And that is, you know, just help you do more, help you do more, help you do more. Okay? All right, so what have we done over the last year? Well, we started off with announcing our hybrid integration solution back at Integrate in London in May of 2016, and then we had Logic Apps in development for about a year and a half or so, and then got that product to GA, and then we had our Enterprise Integration Pack, which is all of our EDI and B2B capabilities. We got that product to GA as well, and then we've got BizTalk Server 2016, and we got that product to GA as well. So this team has been extremely busy in terms of rolling out products. How many of you think we've been rolling out way too much too fast? Because I've heard that. I've gotten some emails. So if you've emailed me and said, Jim, can you slow that down? Raise your hand if you sent me one of those. Okay. So, you know, we hear that a lot from enterprises is, man, you are pumping out a lot of stuff. Well, we're going to continue to pump out a lot of stuff. So we're very agile now at Microsoft. On Logic Apps, we release every 2 weeks. BizTalk Server is not going to be slowing down. It's got quarterly updates that we've got scheduled out pretty much for the next year that's going to be coming out. So you can take these updates or not take these updates, but we're not going to slow down on our speed of innovation. API management is going through a whole facelift right now in terms of moving to the new new portal. So a lot of cool stuff is coming out on its way for that. So a really great year. We really celebrated a great year of delivery, and we've got a tremendous 2017 planned. All right, so when we take a look at the Microsoft integration platform, really what are the pillars of that product? It starts off with BizTalk Server. BizTalk Server is our on-premise solution for orchestrating workloads and really doing all things integration. And it will continue to be our on-premise solution. When you want to wire things up on-premise, BizTalk Server is the way to go for that. One of the cool things that we did in BizTalk Server 2016 was we actually created an adapter from BizTalk Server 2016 to Logic Apps. So I'll be talking a little bit more about that in terms of some of the demos that we're going to be showing you. But it really starts giving you that true hybrid capabilities by doing that. Next is Logic Apps. Logic Apps was born in the cloud. Thank you very much, John, for that line. I like it. I'm stealing it.
No worries.
It was born in the cloud. And it's got it's all of its workflow capabilities are all born up in Azure, as well as all of the, over 100 connectors now to Azure for being able to connect and different data points and systems and working with our IoT folks. And just really gives you a tremendous amount of capabilities in the cloud. API management, we really start leading with API first. So in our demos today, you're going to be seeing a little bit about API management and how it plays together. And then we've got Azure Service Bus as a component of that. And one of the things that we're doing, as you think about these main products, one of the things that we're doing is we have a what we call a better together strategy within our team. So we're constantly meeting all of these PMs. You know, we all live in what we call the same neighborhood on campus. But we're all in the same building, we're all on the same floor, in the same area. All of our teams are together. And we constantly meet when we're talking about our roadmap for, you know, short term in terms of what we're delivering this month, this quarter, the longer term in terms of what we're doing over the next, what we call semester or two semesters. We're constantly looking at how do we add value, but how do we make these products work even tighter together? So we're constantly working at looking at ways to make these products better together. Very similar to how Microsoft Office has been so successful. They created Word, they created Excel, and then they started figuring out ways to be able to make those two products together even better. And then they, as they added all of the other products and continue to do that. So we're just following that same model. We're not kind of reinventing one. We're just kind of following that same model. So when you use these products, here's a call to action for you. When you're using BizTalk and Logic Apps and API management, if you go, man, I really wish I could see this or that from this or that, and we're not doing that, you should be bugging us. You should be saying, it would really be nice if I could see this or that, and making sure that it's on our roadmap, okay? Because that is part of really our charter, is to make these products when you the old 1+1=5 kind of model. So we're really trying to work on that. So the pro integration team covers these three products. So we all work together, and we're all on the same team. I have the privilege of leading this team, which is just a blast. They keep me young, and then cause me more gray hair. Kevin's trying to get my rest of my gray hair to fall out, but John's still working. John and Kevin are still working on just making it more gray. But these are the three products that actually fall under our group, as well as the host integration services folks as well. And then we have Microsoft Flow. How many of you have heard of Microsoft Flow? Okay, a lot of people don't realize that Microsoft Flow is actually built on top of Logic Apps. So all of the work that we do in Logic Apps is to light up everything that Microsoft Flow can do. So so in terms of when you think about the scalability, when you think about how many hundreds of thousands of users that product now has in just a short period of time, you know, our team is responsible for making sure that they're just another customer of ours for Logic Apps, a very big customer of ours, nevertheless. Why is that important for you? It's important for you because if we can support a customer like Microsoft Flow on our platform, then you don't have to worry about scalability. We're way ahead of you in terms of making sure that thing can auto scale, handle, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, and the various types of workflows they want to support. The other really cool thing that a lot of people haven't really paid too close of attention to is that now that Microsoft Flow is so successful and being used by a ton of people, we have a lot of companies coming to us saying, hey, I want to build a connector for Microsoft Flow. What they're really saying is, we want to build a connector for Logic Apps. All right, which means that you're going to start seeing even more connectors coming out, because if we build a connector for Flow, that connector is likely going into the enterprise product for Logic Apps. All right, which is just a win-win for all of us. So it's a really good thing for Microsoft Flow. Microsoft Flow doesn't require Azure. It's all SaaS-based. It's a little bit easier in terms of point of entry. They don't have to know what Azure is. They don't have to know what the portal is. It's really great for individual users to be able to do their own workflows. And the way we like to think about it is, for customers, if you're building an integration that your business depends on, where if that integration doesn't fire correctly, and somebody's going to really be upset over that, that workflow should be in Logic Apps. If you're building a workflow for yourself, where if you get an email from your boss, you want your phone to go off via Twilio to tell you, and if that doesn't fire, okay, you're annoyed, but it's not like anybody's going to pick up the phone and call somebody, then that workflow is probably just fine in Microsoft Flow. Okay, so that's kind of the quick rule of thumb of whether it should be built in Logic Apps and Flow. Logic Apps gives you the ability to do Visual Studio and some other nice things as well as source control and CDI and CDs. So there's other benefits as well. All right. So I have two different ways to show you what, kind of how we thought of this as we were building this platform. I like this one first because it kind of shows the fact that we really think that Logic Apps and BizDoc is the heart of our integration platform. And then we have API management and Azure Service Bus, as I just covered in the previous slide. But as you can see now, I've added connectors and Azure services. And we really believe that the connectors is kind of a necessity, but the Azure services is really our secret sauce. And this is really where we just really leapfrogged the competition in so many ways, is because of all of the additional Azure services that we have. And this is just a subset to kind of just give you an idea of what we're talking about. I'm going to show you another slide in a second that kind of blows this up in a little bit more detail. But when you start really thinking about our hybrid platform and the cool things that you can do across it, we have to remember that part of our hybrid platform also includes the connectors. So we have a really cool gateways and connectors team that we meet with every single week. Again, they're in the same building as us. We know all of the program managers from that group as well. And then all of the Azure services. And this team does a tremendous job of spending time with all of the PMs, program managers across all of these various Azure services, talking about how can we make our products better together with them as well. So let's talk about our connectors. We've got a bunch of them. This is kind of an eye chart, and I'm going to tell you something. If this is kind of amazing in terms of what we've been able to deliver in the past year. So as you can see, we've got just a slew, more than we can. In fact, Kevin was up last night just updating it again last night just to make sure that it was current. And we're trying to figure out new ways to start communicating as new connectors are coming out, trying to figure out really cool ways to give you examples of how to use new connectors that are coming out, because you'll say, wow, the DocuSign connector came out. What could I possibly use that for? And so we want to be able to start figuring out really cool ways to give you some thoughts about how you can how these new connectors can really add value within your business. But what's really neat about this is when you really look at the breadth of what, again, the one Microsoft agenda that we have in terms of really working together with all of our teams, is you can see that in terms of Azure services, we have really, really shored up the amount of connectors that we have with Azure services. And this is the direct result of this team working with these PMs on a weekly basis in terms of checking in, how can we add better value, and also meeting with those, with their customers to say, what kind of workflows would you like to do, and how can we make Logic Apps better by exposing actions and triggers within those products. Whoops.
That's weird.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I think you pushed a blank button on the remote or something.
Yeah, maybe I did.
Very strange.
It's okay. And then the next one is really starting to look at all of the other Microsoft products that we support. So again, not just Azure services, we also work with all of the products owned by Microsoft and working with those teams in trying to figure out how to, again, make it very, very easy for you to integrate into those products. So we've come a long way in a year, and we continue to do a lot of work on this. And the really neat thing, the other thing to think about is, remember, connectors are all about actions and triggers, right? When this trigger happens, I want to do this action. We constantly revisit each of the connectors and say, do we need better triggers? Do we need more actions? So it's not just we released the connector and we're done. We're constantly revisiting those connectors and saying, what additional triggers and actions can we add to those to give you a much richer and better experience? So once they get in our workload, it's just a matter of how can we constantly make them better. So as you're playing with those connectors, that's another thing that you can also ping us about. If you see, you know, a specific trigger or action not supported, making sure that we know that. And then when we meet with the connectors team, that we can pass that information on.
How many people remember what this list looked like a year ago? And do you remember how many connectors we had on that list? Yeah.
It was more like 12.
Yeah, it was pretty 20, low.
20, yeah. So five times as many as we had a year ago. And now we're delivering almost as many, you know, as we go forward, you know, delivering every month. So
I like this graph a lot because this graph really gives you a completely different representation of really what is possible now with our hybrid integration platform. And this was really Again, a year ago, this was just a thought for us. We first whiteboarded this graph on a whiteboard in February of last year and said, wouldn't it be cool if? And so as you look at this graph, the kinds of things that come into play is when the actual graph that we had in the whiteboard that day, we were saying, well, if we had something that came in from, let's just say Salesforce.com, all of the salespeople are in Salesforce.com, that's where they live, but yet we have these line of business applications that have point of sale systems and they live on-prem. How do we get those sales back up to Salesforce.com? And if a salesperson adds a person, adds a new account in Salesforce.com, how do we push all of that account information back down into the line of business application, which could be SAP? And so the team really worked really strategically and to really focus on how to really nail this out. And so now when you look at this, what's really neat is the fact that we can actually package up workflows based off of where it makes the most sense to run them, right? So if I'm on-prem, I don't necessarily want to take that data and push everything up to the cloud. I got latency issues and all kinds of security issues and everything else. So I want to be able to if it's on-prem and it's going from one system on-prem to another system on-prem, it really makes sense for that orchestration to all live in BizTalk. Right, and let BizTalk do all of that. But at that point, if BizTalk manages all of that, and then we want to send that information, we want to send some kind of information up to a SaaS-based product, whether that be a like Scott's demo, where he sent it to a team page, or we want to send it off to Yammer or do any of those kinds of things, then we can package it up, give it to Logic Apps, and Logic Apps can then debundle it and take that information and send it to multiple SaaS-based products. Likewise, if something comes in from a SaaS-based product, we can collect it from multiple places, package that all together, and then send it down to BizTalk and have BizTalk be able to manage it all and deconstruct it all and send it to all of its on-prem places. So again, you have all kinds of capabilities here. You can have the connector talking from BizTalk directly to Logic Apps if you want and do some really cool things with that, or you can do the packaging and batching and unbatching if you want of data. So again, you get to do it your way. The other thing, the other message that was really important that we land on is we're no longer we don't have this position that you have to move everything in the cloud, right? You can do whatever, it's your business. You can do whatever, if you want to move your business to the cloud, you want to move the majority of your business to the cloud, great, we have a solution for that. You want to keep some, items in on-premise and you want to be able to take advantage of some SaaS-based products, that's cool too. So with this model, we allow you to have as much in the cloud or as much on-premise as you want. It's your business, run it the way that you want. We're going to continue to improve these tools so you can do it any way you want to do it. All right. So, and we'll continue to expand this. The other thing that's really neat in terms of, again, taking this point-to-point data, if you're taking information from Office 365 and perhaps you're taking that information and you're moving it down into something on-prem, you also have now the ability to create really intelligent data points. So you can take that data, once you have it, you can easily pitch it off to cognitive services or machine language, and then let those services go ahead and process that data and give you some rich results back. So now you can actually have point-to-point connections where you can actually give that information off to to something like machine learning and do even more intelligent stuff with that. So we're meeting with a customer in London. Let me see if I can bring this in and then we'll turn it over to some demos. So we're meeting with a customer in London and they were like, hey, we have they're a health club company with various locations across all of Europe. And people come in with their badge, and that's how they get in the health club. And they use their badge to get in the health club, and they also use their badge to get into like Zumba classes and spin classes and those kinds of things. So based on their badge, they get access to these various rooms to work out. And they were like, "Hey, we want to be able to use Logic Apps to integrate our SaaS-based member services program with Marketo because we don't like the marketing tools in that SaaS-based application. We like the marketing tools in Marketo much better. So we want to be able to take that information of member data and move that into Marketo and do do really cool marketing events in Marketo. Can you help us? So we were in the room with the enterprise architect going through how exactly we would do that, and Logic Apps, and you know, Jeff in his typical way was like 10 minutes, showed him exactly how to build it, right? And he was like, wow, it's unbelievable. And so it led to the next conversation. I said, so in all of this member information that you have, so everything's in that SaaS-based product? And he said, yeah. And I said, so how do you know, do you do any predictive analysis on that data to find out when a member is likely to quit? And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, have you built any kind of models to say this particular member that, you know, John hasn't done his spin class in 6 weeks and he's really likely to kind of resign his membership because he's paying, you know, some money to be there and he's not doing his spin class and maybe he's likely to quit in 90 days if we don't reach him. And he said, no, how would we do that? And so with just one click in the workflow, Jeff said, well, I've already got the data going from this member services program into Marketo. Now let me just add another step, and let me fire off that member information directly to machine learning and start building a model on that. And all of a sudden, we just added complete value to the business. And he was like, wow, I can't believe. So I can go back and tell them that, by the way, we can also start building these rich models and then point them to Power BI and start doing all kinds of really cool things in Marketo to start reaching out to people that are most likely to resign their membership because they're not using it in the way that other people that stick around are using it. So just really one cool example where we added a tremendous amount of value in that one meeting, and that's what we talk about, some of the smart integrations that we can do. Okay, Logic Apps is serverless, which is another disruptor in the marketplace, because the really cool thing about it is you don't have to worry about spinning up VMs, you don't have to worry about managing those VMs, it's all managed for you. It's also all event-driven, which means that you only pay for what you use. Unlike some of our competitors that will ask you to buy all of their software and then it's going to take anywhere from most of the time 6 months to a year and a half to really start consuming it, with Logic Apps you only pay when you're using it. So it's pay to play. So if you create a Logic App and it sits there and doesn't fire, you're not paying anything for it. Okay? If most of your business is at Christmas, and that's when your business goes up, well, guess what? That's when you get the bigger bill. It's going to automatically readjust in January. And most people don't mind getting a big bill because the sales went up. They don't like getting the big bill when the sales went down, right? So so because we're serverless, we auto-scale. You pay for as much as that you use, and then you don't have to worry about anything. It's just all magic in the background. That's really one of the real, you know, advantages of that. Next is also time to market. You can create these flows in no time. I mean, literally, we're going to show you some examples of where you could actually build a complete workflow in 10 minutes or less. In fact, how many of you saw Scott Guthrie's demo in the keynote, right? Well, you can actually download it on our tutorial. You can download instructions on how to build that demo. And how long would that demo take them, Jeff?
10 minutes. Your pizza would show up in longer than it would take to build that thing end to end.
So that's 10 minutes. There you go. All right. With that, thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Jeff.
Great. So thanks, Jim. Great job kind of laying out the strategy and the different pieces we have in the integration platform. For the last 45 minutes, we're going to take a little bit of a shift because what we really want to show you isn't just what we can do. We want to show you how easy it is to do it and how you can tap into the power to both automate and integrate your stuff. I really want to open your minds into some of the incredible power that's available in Azure through Logic Apps. So my call to action for all of you, pay attention to these incredible demos and fantastic demos. We're here all week, right? And if you're in Sydney or Melbourne, we're here more than a week. Try out Logic Apps. Come find us. Come meet with us. Go to your hotel room tonight. See if you can build Scott Guthrie's demo. We're more than happy to meet one-on-one with any of you as you need. But there's some incredible power that services like Azure Logic Apps bring you to connect and pull your data together. I really think of it like Azure is these pockets of incredible power. You have machine learning that just blows your mind. You've got Internet of Things. You've got data, right? But at the end of the day, you're not delivering pockets to your users or to your customers or to your employees. You've got to deliver solutions, end-to-end solutions. Logic Apps really is that connective tissue between all those services to bring together the full story. So we're going to paint a full story for you. We have a number of customers today. Some of these, you might recognize some of these names, like Mission Linen Supply or Plexure, who are using Azure Logic Apps in production across Internet of Things, across manufacturing, across simple integration and complex integration. I'll just give you this quote from the CEO of eSmart Systems, who's using Azure Service Bus, Web APIs, and Logic Apps to pull data from an on-premises ERP system as they move to Dynamics 365. He says, with Logic Apps, we can deploy integration solutions quickly and don't have to deal with overhead to manage the solution. Logic Apps makes us more agile and help cut costs significantly. Great. Perfect. This is a true quote, right, from the CEO. This isn't just me. So let's paint a story for you. This is, you might not know, I have a part-time job outside of Microsoft. I help own and manage a series of dog spas, right? And these are dog spas across the world. Most of our branches are concentrated in the United States. We have a few in Sydney and Melbourne and Perth, and we've got one in Canberra that's opening up. And so you bring your dog in, and we wash it for you. We make it look all nice and pretty, and we ship it back, okay? But we have some, we ship it. We're using FedEx or whatever, okay? Okay, so we've got these beautiful dogs. But we have a problem, right? When this started, this was just John and I's idea. We're like, hey, we love dogs. We love baths. Let's start a dog spa. But we built everything ourselves. You know, it started as a proof of concept, maybe with an Excel spreadsheet, and kind of organically grew from there. But now we're in a little bit of a mess, right? We've got all of these branches across the United States and Australia, only those two places. And there's a bunch of data around all these branches, like who's the manager of this branch, when does it open, how do I get in contact with the branch, I don't know, maybe a social presence. And managing all of that data is really difficult, right? Right now we've got a SQL database, we have a database admin, Kevin, and if someone needs to update something from one of these branches, they send Kevin an email, it sits there for 2 or 3 weeks for him to finally respond to an email. And he'll go and update the database manually. But in that time, we've got customers going to Google or Bing, or Yahoo, I guess, I don't know. And they're seeing out-of-date information. So we're growing too fast. We need to start leveraging the cloud. We want to do some more intelligent things, all right? So let's go through a little bit of a demo and show you how you can start tapping into the solutions in Microsoft integration to make our world much easier. So we have some branch management system that's on-premises today. We want to bring that to the cloud. We want to start to modernize our business to become competitively advantageous. I think I just made up some words there, but you get the gist, okay? The first place I want to start, and this is often where you will start as well in your integration journey, is with Azure API Management. So a few of you here had used it before. What Azure API Management provides me is a single pane of glass to manage all my systems and services on-premises and in the cloud. So you'll notice here on the left-hand side, these are the APIs that I've already imported into API Management. So I can see them all in one spot. I can manage them, control security, access, get notifications on, I don't know, issues. But I can also add new APIs really easily. I want to emphasize again, this could be connected through like Azure Express Route to your own database, to your own data centers, I don't know, whatever. Or it could be services hosted in the cloud or that you want to connect to in the cloud. So I could use Swagger or the open API specification to import an API. Could use Waddle, WSDL for SOAP services. I might even expose functionality that the behind the scenes is just a Logic App, but I can expose that as an API. And the reason APIs give you a lot of power, especially in the integration space, is it's that contract, right? You write an API once, and now any system that needs to go talk to that API has that defined contract in how to talk to that API. Let me show you this management portal that you get with API Management. Just what I mentioned before, I can see who's using an API across my entire business, if there's any issues or errors, control access control and security. All this stuff, you don't have to worry about building it on your APIs. It just comes for free, right? I really do believe if you have APIs on-premises or in the cloud, you really need API management. As we move forward and as you notice technology trends, APIs should be treated like products. They need to be planned for like products. They need to be documented like products. They need to be discoverable like products, right? If I publish an app, I put it in an app store so people can search for it and find it. If I have an API, people need to find that somehow too. So this is actually my favorite part of API management. This is the documentation portal that is generated automatically for you with any APIs in API management. I think of the old expression, the whole like if a tree falls in a forest and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound, right? If you have an API that has poor documentation or no documentation or out-of-date documentation, do you really have any documentation at all? Okay. But API management takes that completely away from you. I could share this portal out. I could restrict it to say, hey, I only want people in my company to see these APIs. Or maybe I have partners or customers who can access certain pieces of that API. They can come to this portal. I didn't customize this at all. This is just the out-of-the-box one. There's some great examples of people who do customize it. But what's great is I could search here. I could sign up for access to APIs, join specific groups, or request access. I can come here to like our orders API when people are placing an order. And right here, I did nothing to generate this page. I just imported my API and told API management how to call it, and it did all this for me. I can try out the API. I can see what a request looks like. I even get code samples. Maybe I'm using Python. Here is what I would need in Python to call this API hosted in API management. If I go and I update that API and I update my registration API management, the documentation is automatically updated for me. So my developers can have the assurance that, hey, this is how I call the service. This is the contract that's set up. That's so powerful to have that single spot. So maybe for us right now, we might have our branch API and only we care about it. Maybe marketing in a few months wants to do a campaign based on branch data. If we had this in API management, the developers in the marketing department could easily access and tap into that data too, really improving that agility. Okay, so we showed all those connectors on that list, the over 100 connectors. Anything that you're using in Azure App Services, Azure Functions, or API management, those can all be your own custom connectors as well. So I can start building workflows now on top of both our own connectors and API management. This is just a really simple one. I wanted to build an application where I could manage the branch data, right? If someone got a new manager or a new contact information. I just have a simple workflow here. If you haven't seen Logic Apps before, it was at the keynote, so hopefully you at least saw it there. I'm gonna get a request from an application. I have a condition here for if they're updating something like the business start date, I might need to go send an approval email. This is a powerful little pattern here where the workflow is actually gonna stop. It's just going to hang out for months even and wait for someone to click approve or reject on a custom email form that I'm sending them. Okay, you can implement that same pattern as well to make it so these workflows could have human intervention, those types of patterns. If it gets approved, I'm going to go ahead and make the changes. You'll notice here, this is not a connector in that list of 100. This is our branch API. This is the branch API that's on premises under Kevin's desk right now that I've added to API management that is connected to Logic Apps and using that on-premises connectivity. So now if I come here in a Logic App and when you, like I really do want you to try out Logic Apps if you haven't yet, it's so easy to. We have all of these connectors that you can talk to, right? This list is growing all of the time. Azure Automation and Azure Data Lake Store are deploying as we speak. So we have all these services that I could easily just tap into to say, you know, when someone updates a branch, maybe we send out a MailChimp campaign to all the people to say, hey, we have a new branch. I don't know. But we have here first-class integration with services like Azure API Management. So now what's happening is the Logic Apps designer is actually looking in my subscription, and it says, hey, I see you have this instance here called Holland Connector. Here's the APIs that you've imported, right? I have a branch management API. It's going that same way automatically generated documentation. It's automatically giving me this first-class design experience to say, maybe I want to update a branch, and now I have a card here. Again, so easy now to start tying in here. Maybe I want to set the ID as a field from another step in my Logic App. All that data is easily flowed through between our own custom APIs and the APIs that we host in the cloud. Now, obviously, we also have really rich first-class integration with Azure Service Bus. So you might not be integrating API to API, but you can use a secure message broker in the Azure cloud to have that guaranteed delivery communication between on-premises and the cloud if you want, using Service Bus as the message broker in the middle. Okay, so here is the Power App that I was able to build. Again, Microsoft Power Apps, I know we're going through a lot. Don't worry a whole bunch on Power Apps. I want to keep your minds focused on the Logic Apps integration stuff. But this is, again, a really powerful tool to build internal applications similar to how you would build a PowerPoint presentation almost, right? I can just add buttons. I can modify things. I could say, hey, I want to change this screen to say foo, and now this mobile application says foo there. So now I could potentially start modernizing my business and say, hey, all you employees now can go look at all the branches. You could see where they're being run. You could update the information. And this can integrate seamlessly with Azure Logic Apps to call workflows as well, and therefore also integrate with Azure API Management. Okay, so there's a little bit of an overview, kind of a taste of, you know, starting with an API, starting with your own systems using API Management, tying them into an Azure Logic App really seamlessly, extending that capability so you can call it from an application. I think that's good, but that is not, I think I'm a great demoer. That is not the greatest demo you've ever seen, okay? But this next one is, okay? All right. So now we need to start evolving, okay? That's great. We did point-to-point integration. We did it faster than we were ever to do it before. We show up to the business and we say, hey, we now have the branch data extendable and integratable and in the cloud. And they're like, fantastic. I thought that was going to take you a year and a half. You came back after 3 weeks. But now we want to start saying, to what Jim was saying, how can we start tapping really easily into those other pockets of genius in Azure to create business value, to create competitive advantages, to create incredible customer experiences? So the one interesting thing about our dog spa is that, you know, there's kind of the supply and demand aspect where we have so many branches, but it costs a different amount of money per, you know, branch to wash a dog, right? Like in downtown Sydney, if you bring your dog in downtown Sydney, that's probably going to cost a lot more than somewhere like Perth, right? Because in downtown Sydney, they love dogs so much, and in Perth, they eat dogs, right? So the pricing... So the price, don't even get me started in Canberra. I just don't even, okay? So the pricing is different, so it needs to be dynamic. And in the past, what's happened is if you're in Sydney, you have to have your own spreadsheet, and if you get transferred branches, it's just a big mess. And we also price differently based on the breed of the dog, right? Because if you come in with a tiny little miniature schnauzer, that's going to take us like 5 minutes to wash and ship back to you, because that's our competitive advantages too. We ship the dogs. But if you bring in a Great Dane, it's going to take us a lot more time, so we need to charge more. Now, we really wanted to speed up business. We don't want people waiting in lines. We don't want people filling out forms. So let's do another logic app, and this one I'm actually going to build within our Visual Studio tools, so I could check this into source control. Let me zoom out a little bit. I'm going to walk you through this logic app. It's very simple as well, but it's doing some incredible stuff. I'm going to send this logic app a request, which is actually going to be an image, a picture of a dog. And all I want to do with that picture is I want to drop it into Azure Storage, just as another step. And I have this step here called Analyze. Now, what is this step Analyze doing? It is not nearly as complicated as it might look. Well, as you might think it would be. So if you remember about a year or so ago, Microsoft had the Howl.net thing. You saw Scott Guthrie do it at the keynote. It's at the Showcase 2, where you can give you a picture, and it tells you how old it thinks you are. Okay, really cool, really fun. There was a less touted about service as well that came out around the same time, called whatdog.net, where you can upload a picture of a dog into Azure and it will tell you the breed of dog pretty accurately. Okay. Now, because that's already been figured out, that's already in the Azure cloud, I just added that as a step in my workflow. Right. Now, obviously, I don't know how many of you here are working in the dog spa business. This doesn't necessarily have to be going and detecting the breed of a dog. This could be, I want to go detect, you know, what's the emotion of my customers. I want to go detect what's in this picture. I want to detect what's the sentiment of this voice clip. I don't know, whatever. But you get the point. You just drop that in as a step in your workflow. So I'm going to get the breed of the dog from this picture, and I'm going to extend this with another kind of custom connector, which is an Azure function. Because now the Azure function can get data from, okay, where did this branch come from? Was this in Perth? Do I need to really discount this? What's the breed of the dog? And so it can give me a price back, and then I'm just going to create a record in a database and send back the response to the application. All right, that sounds great. Sounds like science fiction. Let's go ahead and check it out. So I have this camera button here. So now you see the camera here, right? I could, I'm not going to be the dog in this case, right? So I have here my phone, okay? And what I want to do is I want to show that this is real. I want someone to tell me the breed of a dog that they own or they love or they... Golden Retriever. Okay, there we go. All right, so let me go ahead and open up a picture of a Golden Retriever. Puppies, that would have been a funner one. Okay, so let's come here to Images and grab... that's a fine one. Let me make sure I can rotate my phone. Okay, so now I've got to take a picture of... Oh, that went weird. I'm holding down the power button. Come on. All right. I have to take a picture of a picture. So the quality is not fantastic, but Azure is powerful enough that I'm confident. That looks like a pretty good picture. Someone comes into that dog shop. I'm going to go ahead and click submit. That logic app that you were just looking at is running. It's storing that picture, detecting the breed, running that Azure function. I haven't run that Azure function in quite a long time, which is probably why this first one's going to take a little bit longer. And there you go, right? So that actually just detected that this was a golden retriever. It is, in fact, a dog. It's going to cost $47.44. And it even gave me some nice keywords, right? It gets along with just about everyone. Strong, active, gentle, eager to please. I've got some punctuation in there, which I didn't handle, but that's fine, okay? So just kind of think about how easy it was as I start moving into the cloud, start building these workflows. Now I can really easily tap into things like IoT data, machine learning, AI, just as an extra step in that workflow, right? Obviously, you can do much more complex error handling, parallel exception stuff, and we'll get into that. But I just wanted to do that, and I'll just kind of finish off. So we will actually, let's see, we'll go ahead and take a picture of me here and click submit, because I want to know if I cost more to watch than a golden retriever. So now in this time, I do, that's great. Twice as much, in fact. And I want Kevin to wash me. All right, okay, so it did detect I was not a dog. It's saying false. It's assigned me the breed of border collie, though. Great athleticism, meh. Intense stares, highly intelligent. I'll take the intelligent thing, okay? So again, I know it's a more of a fun demo, but I just want to kind of open your eyes to the vision of the type of capabilities as you connect and integrate your data together with solutions like Logic Apps, the types of scenarios that you can unveil. Obviously, I showed this briefly. I want to just point it out again. I can build this directly in Visual Studio, check it into source control, deploy it in a release and build process, just like I would any other resource, in a consistent and reliable way into any region in the world. I will say, so there's one other story I want to mention, which was one of the coolest experiences for me, and then I'll give the rest of the time to John. I was on a call with a customer in Sydney, back when there were a bunch of the storms and whatever in Sydney, and one of their applications was having some hiccups. And so they got one of the tech people on the phone, and they said, hey, our Logic Apps application, one of the APIs it's integrating with is having some issues. We're going to need to go and redeploy this whole solution somewhere else. And in any other phone call with any other product or technology before the cloud, that would have been like, well, crap, now we got to go spend a day, go provision a bunch of infrastructure, configure the VMs. This is going to be a long night, right? Literally, like 30 seconds later, the guy said, okay, it's in Japan West, we're good to go, everybody have a good night, right? Because you can take this kind of stuff in Azure, check in one of these deployment templates, and within seconds, you can have an exact copy of this workflow running in any of the 38 regions in the entire world, right? That's the power, that's the agility, that's the kind of, excitement that we want to share with all of you, right? That's where we want to take those kind of integration scenarios. So with that, John's going to show even some cooler stuff. You don't want me to switch? Or you
No, I want the slide.
Oh, yes, you do have a setup slide. Here, I'll go back. Okay.
All right, so Jeff's kind of front of house because he's the kind of younger, better-looking guy, so they keep me locked in the back room. And I'm representing Fabricam Furry Friends. So we have Contoso, who are running these dog spas, hugely successful. You know, these guys are on fire. They're opening up offices all over the place, or spas everywhere. But, you know, like any other business, they need to be able to do the replenishment and order process for all that dog shampoo and everything else, and, you know, that FedEx stuff to ship the dog back to people. So Fabricam are a traditional kind of bricks and mortar type company, and they run traditional kind of B2B and EDI processing. But they know that things are changing, and this internet thing apparently is here to stay, so they need to kind of get on that bandwagon. And so this is what their existing process kind of looks like, where they're running BizTalk server on-prem, you know, fantastic product, been using it for a long time, and it's just super reliable. And they have an order system. That order system is kind of connected to their ERP, you know, databases and everything else on-premises. And they accept orders via file. Could be FTP, could be, you know, anything else. Could be HTTP if you're using AS2, using XML. But they want to kind of streamline this processing. So one of the things that they want to try to solve is how can we streamline the onboarding of a new customer, because there's all that kind of terms and conditions stuff that companies need to agree with one another before they'll do business with each other. So thought it would be great to be able to kind of switch out, if you like, and extend to the cloud this existing solution that's running on their own environment and bring logic apps into that picture. So let's sort of look at how that would work. And here I'm going to use DocuSign to drive that workflow that's going to send out the terms and conditions when Fabricam recognizes that they've just received an order from a new customer and try and automate that. So let's flip over to number 8. And here I have a BizTalk orchestration. So let me just quickly walk you through this. So I'm going to receive an order. I mean, all the BizTalk guys in the room, just you know, you already know what this thing does, right? So I'm receiving an order. And in this case, I'm just going to take it off the file system. And then I'm going to do a customer lookup. So I'm just doing a lookup to a SQL database to see whether that customer in that order already exists or not. And if it doesn't already exist, I'm going to go down this this branch on the right-hand side. And I'm going to create a new request to a logic app. And that logic app is going to communicate with DocuSign to send to the person the email address and the order of the contact details, you'll see in a second, a contract to sign and return. And then I'm going to wait for an acceptance, because DocuSign is driving this workflow process that Logic Apps is managing now. So BizTalk needs to wait for that or that contract to be sent out, received, reviewed. You know, hopefully they're going to accept the terms and conditions and then sign that. And then it'll come back through the Logic App, and BizTalk will continue. And then BizTalk can process the order, create a new customer in the customer database, and we're done. So let's look at the Logic App side of this. So here I have a really simple logic app. I got a request trigger. So I've got an HTTP endpoint. This is what BizTalk's going to call. And then I'm just going to send that to DocuSign. And just a couple of pieces of information that I need for that. I just need the template, which is my new customer terms and conditions. And then I need the email and contact information to put in that contract and who to send it to. And then I got this. This is part of our BizTalk integration with Logic Apps. So we have both an adapter, that's how BizTalk can call a Logic App, and then we have a connector, and that's how a Logic App can send messages to BizTalk. So we've got this this action called prepare from JSON. So this allows me to take, because Logic Apps is JSON-based, BizTalk's XML-based, right? It lets me bridge these two worlds really easily, so I can actually just take the outputs from when I send that envelope, including that contract from DocuSign, and provide the schema, and it's just going to enumerate the schemas that I have in my BizTalk management database using the connector. We have a REST API for that. And I just pick that, and then it converts that JSON message to XML and does the whole kind of root node namespace thing on it to send that message back down to BizTalk. So BizTalk's making a request and getting a response back, and it's got the envelope ID, which is a unique ID that DocuSign uses to kind of track this stuff. Okay. And just to quickly show you on the BizTalk side of this, so here in the admin console, you can see I have a new transport type here, right? Logic App. And if I open this thing up and click Configure, you can see here's that trigger URL. I can open that up. And I can see all of the resource groups that I have in my subscriptions, and I can kind of drop down all of those, and I can see all the logic apps that I have, and I just pick the logic app that I want to call, and I'm done. So let's see how that works in action. So here we have a new customer. They're going to send in. This is National Dog Spa. So these are Contoso's arch enemies. These guys have been going for years. They're far, far bigger, massive presence. And you can see I have a couple of things in here. So I have the contact details. It has the company name and the street address, as well as the contact information. And then the details, we've got some Know It shampoo, because that's a big thing, right, in dog spa world. So I want to make sure I'm, as Contoso, want to offer the best products, and so do National Dog Spas. So when I drop this order in, I'm just going to quickly rename this thing. BizTalk is going to pick up this order, and then it's going to call a logic app. So I've got some tracing in this thing, and you can see what's going on. You can see it did a customer lookup, and it didn't find a customer, so now it calls a logic app. See, it got a response back from the logic app, and this is the envelope ID from DocuSign. So this is how we're going to correlate these two things happening, and now it's waiting. So with any luck, if I look in my email, I should see... there we go. You see the email just appeared. And I can just open this up, this DocuSign contract, and see what it says. You know, see what kind of terms and conditions these Fabricam guys are going to make me sign up to. And just accept this, that I'm okay with electronic records. Fabricam, furry friends, great. So this is no big deal. Just asked me to betroth my firstborn. You know, it's a typical EULA that some of our competitors like to use. So let's just drop my signature in here. You can see it takes the information that it had in that original order, so it knows my name and everything else. And I can just adopt and sign this and finish up. And then let's just open up this logic app and sort of look at the sort of run history of this thing and see what's going on. So you can see that one succeeded. So I now have a second logic app. So this one is actually going to react to the status changes from DocuSign. So this is tracking what's happening in DocuSign now. So I received that. And then I got some of the new support we added to the designer recently is Switch. And this is a perfect case for Switch because what I have here is all these different statuses. I've got whether it's being completed, whether the guys looked at it and said, no, I'm not signing up to that, I'm going to reject it, or even like when it times out. So we can react to all of these different paths. So the first path, because I did accept this document, is on the left-hand side here. And here I'm actually calling back down to BizTalk. So I'm using, you know, correlation in BizTalk to be able to, again, prepare a message from JSON, convert that to XML, and then send it to a BizTalk receive location. And you see, you know, it's in the same way I can just pick the receive location from using the API that we provide with the connector. And if I flip back over to BizTalk, it's still waiting. Hang on a second. Let's just see if this thing's run. It's actually going to fire a couple of times because there's a couple of different status changes. Right, here we go. So the first one is that it's actually been delivered, and the second one is what happened to it. You see that's running right now, 8:41. It succeeded. I can open that up and see what happened. I can see, yep, it's been completed, so it goes down the completed path. So if I go back over to BizTalk, then I can see that response coming in, the same envelope ID, you know, the GUID that it uses, and I can see that it then took the order, created it, and also created a new customer. So in my orders and customer database, I see a new customer, National Dogs Bars. Awesome. And if I go to the orders database, then I should also see that an order was processed and received. Okay, so that's kind of cool. But it's still using these sort of traditional protocols. In this case, I'm using XML, but I could be doing, you know, EDI as well. And that stuff just works, right? But let's think of like Contoso now. So Contoso don't have any of this stuff. Like they just want to have a simple ordering process and onboarding process as possible. They don't have any of this kind of backend infrastructure. They're living this this serverless dream. So they just don't want any of that infrastructure. So what they have is they just have an existing system that Jeff showed where I've just got this Power Apps and everything else. And on the back end, when they want to do the order processing, they got one of these. They just got a piece of paper where they're going to just create this in Word and print it out. And they just want to be able to send this to Fabricam and have them deal with taking all the information off this. It's the same stuff that was in the XML file, but they just printed it out, right?
Paper. Who's using paper?
So let's see what happens with this. So I've got another logic app here. Now, this logic app...
Oh, yes,
let's flip back over. Yep. So in this one, I'm just using OneDrive. So I'm going to take a picture of this piece of paper and drop it in OneDrive. And then I'm using another one of our cognitive services APIs. This is computer vision. And this is going to take that photograph of that document and pull out all of the data from that document. And I'm using an Azure function to format that. And then I'm going to just... do a simple condition. I'm going to say is if it's Washington State, then it goes down the left-hand path. Otherwise, I'm going to do something else with it. Maybe I've got some alternative processing I want to do. And this is going to, again, go back down to BizTalk and do that same process again. So I'm going to go back down to BizTalk. I still need to do that terms and conditions stuff in DocuSign because I don't want to circumvent any of the existing processes that Fabricam needs to be able to onboard customers and do this order processing. So... Let's quickly take a picture of this.
Where should I stand? You want this light? You want this?
Against the wall. I'm just quickly, you guys can see in the room, I'm quickly going to take a picture of that document. And when I say done, I can just drop it in my photo library and then go
to my phone.
1 second, yeah, in a second. I'm then going to just go to OneDrive. And recently added take that photo, and let me just flip over to OneDrive, which I think I have here. Click done. Should be uploading the picture. I should see it appear here in a second. With any luck. What's going on? Here it is. So this is the picture I just took.
It's a little blurry.
Open this thing up. So, well, it's not too blurry. Right. So that's OneDrive. So I've got another Logic app that's going to take that document or that photograph from OneDrive, which is this guy here. So let's see if this is going to fire. Yeah, it's just firing now. 8:45. That's the time in Redmond yesterday, I think. I was still trying to get the hang of this. It failed.
That's all right. Let's show them how great our debugging
is. Yeah. Let's just show them how the debugging is. So it went through the Computer Vision API, and you can see that it parsed the data out. So let's see what's happening here. Something weird's happened. But that's okay. Let me take one that I talked with Jim earlier, so Jim can vouch for this. I'm not quite sure what happened there. I'm going to upload another file, another picture. Actually, that's on my phone as well, so just bear with me one second.
I think this is the one thing I do want to point out while he's doing this is often we see when people have made investments in other integration technologies, whether it's BizTalk server or something else, this is a great showing of how you can extend into that existing process using tools like Azure Logic Apps, right? They already had this whole order completion thing going on with BizTalk, but now it's possible they're like, hey, we want a new avenue for people to come in. Maybe we want to expose a bot that lets people interact with this functionality. Maybe we want to expose, in this case, photos into OneDrive, right? But he can still leverage the existing infrastructure and just extend that new capability into Azure Logic App, which increases the agility that he's able to deliver this at, and then as well kind of slowly move more and more stuff into Azure Logic Apps as he goes.
Okay, so that's one that I took earlier. So let's see what happens with that. We just got to wait for that to get picked up. Should be just a few seconds. I don't know who that was.
Run the trigger so it checks OneDrive.
Yeah, let me do that. Yeah, let's just run the trigger right now. Here we go. Right, so that one succeeded. Let me just open that up. I also have this function. I mean, I'll just quickly show this, just to show how small this thing is, that I'm taking what I get back is a set of regions with all the text in it from Computer Vision, and then I can just pull out all the various things like the name and address and contact details for that Logic app. So once it's kind of come through that function, this is what I get back. I get a nicely formatted JSON object with Contoso Dog Spa, the address in Doghouse in Barkville, and the email address right here, which you can see is Jess' email address at Contoso Dog Spa's. Okay, so again, I'm going to go around the same process here again. So they've still got these terms and conditions that Contoso needs to agree with. So if I go to Contoso's email, then I see another DocuSign contract here. So I can open this up. This is, you know, this is not my email this time. This is Contoso. So let's just open this document up. You can see that I'm being asked to review the document. It's the same terms and conditions as before. So, you know, again, no big deal. Just need to agree the electronic records. Open this thing up. Drop the signature in. This time it should have Jeff's name in there. Just pull this from the email address. So let's just tidy this up. It's Jeff Holland, and we'll adopt and sign that, finish that off, and it's going to go back around that process, and this time it's going to add, this time it's just going to go back around again, and let's just see what happens. We'll go back over to BizTalk. See what's going on there. You can see I got the response from the Logic App, so it actually sent the terms and conditions. I'm now waiting for the response. You see it came straight back pretty quick and then did the same thing. It inserted the customer, so let's have a look at that. And we should see Contoso Dog Spa has now been added with the data that I got off of that photograph that I took. And then the same with the order. And there you go. You know, that's the Shiny Coat Shampoo from Fabric and Furry Pet Supplies. Okay, so again, you know, another example of what you can do with the power of Logic Apps and the power of Azure services when you put these things together and being able to kind of integrate these things like really easily. And these aren't things, you know, we talk about these things being easy and simple and everything else, but this is stuff we don't get a lot of time to put these demos together, right, Jim? So we literally did this like last week, like just in a bit of spare time, and built these sort of three different Logic Apps and the ones that Jeff put together on the Power App side. Just it's hours, you know, it's not weeks or months to do this stuff. So the final thing I wanted to show you, because this is another cool, you know, important feature of what we have in Logic Apps, is, you know, let's look at these sort of unhappy paths. So I'm just going to open up that DocuSign processing when the status changes in DocuSign with that big switch statement. You can see, you know, I have some other paths here. What if I rejected it? I'm actually going to drop that to a service bus queue, and then from that service bus queue, I actually, you know, want to drive some other downstream process from that. So let me just create another customer. I can just do that super quickly by, you know, National Dog Spas 2, for example. Let's put that company name in there. And this time, I'm just going to drop another order in and wait for that one to get picked up. Oops. Any luck, I'll go round calling Logic App, so I get another email, which is right here, and I'm going to review this, and this time I'm going to reject it. Okay, just need to quickly agree, continue, oops, other actions, right, so this time I'm going to decline to sign this thing. You must be joking, right? It's like, how am I going to... Why on earth would I do that? Must be joking. My firstborn is worth at least $20. There we go. I'm just going to decline that. So now I'm going to go down another path in that Logic App, and it's going to drop a message in a service bus queue. So how are we doing for time? So let me create a new Logic App to kind of show some of the other things we can do. So I've now got a queue. So I'm just going to go to the Azure portal and create a Ignite Decline process. It's just the experience being able to kind of create a new Logic App. And I just give it a resource group I can type and put it in a location and click Create on this thing. I'm just going to create a very simple Logic App to kind of show some of the other things that we can do with this. While it's doing that, let's just go and see whether this thing's already run. It's put a message in the queue. I expect it's done it already. Yeah, this right here. Sent. Okay. So it should come with the decline in a second. Okay, back in the Logic App Designer. We have a bunch of templates that you can use. If you want to start, you know, not from scratch, you can pick one of our templates, whether it's something sophisticated like a Vetter pipeline for doing XML processing and validation and everything, or even the kind of scenarios that Scott showed yesterday. You know, these things are all possible. In this case, I'm going to start with Service Bus. Now, Service Bus gives us the capabilities of not just being able to pull messages and kind of delete them as we process them, but also having this peak lock pattern. So, you know, how do you deal with the lack of transactions in the cloud? Because you may have some downstream processing that needs to occur, you know, before you actually remove that data. So that if anything bad happened in the processing of that Logic App, something else can pick it up without losing it. So here I can just pick the queue from my Service Bus. And I can take my DocuSign rejected queue. The other thing I can do, I want to pick these up as soon as they're processed. So we used long polling. We made some architectural changes with Service Bus. It's one of our most popular connectors. So if I set this to 30 seconds, we actually have a 30-second long poll, which makes sure that it picks it up immediately with no delay, the kind of things you saw with DocuSign where I'm actually doing it every minute. This will be immediate. So I can just trigger off that new message in that queue. And then say, you know, maybe I'll do something else. Like, I want to take the contents of that, and I want to drop it to my file system. Now, not like any kind of cloud file system or OneDrive. I'm going to put it on my file system on my laptop using the on-premises data gateway that Jim talked about earlier. So you can see when I type in file, I get this nice long list of everything we can do that's cool with files, whether it's Dropbox, OneDrive. In this case, I'm going to pick the file system connector. I can pick a folder. And I think I've just got one set up. So I just navigate through my file system on-prem. It's taking me the time because it's going backwards and forwards using the gateway. And I've got this received folder. So just to show there's no smoke and mirrors here, this is a received folder on my machine here that I'm going to drop this file into. And I'm going to give it a file name. Now, just quickly, you know, make you guys all experts in Logic Apps if you've not used it before. We have these great expressions capabilities. So, you know, some people create functions to do a bunch of things that we already have in this expressions language in Logic Apps. So, you know, for example, I'm going to create a file name from the data that I've got. So let's say I just want to do a concat. I'm going to give it a random number as the file name. And then I'm going to just concatenate that with .txt. And I'm just going to file content, and you see you're just picking this from the values that I have in my Logic App, the file content from the content of that that message from Service Bus. And the final thing I want to do is do a complete on that message.
You did auto-complete.
Did I do auto-complete?
You did auto-complete.
I did, yeah.
That's all right.
Hang on.
If it was peak lock, you would add a complete.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what. Here's one I did earlier. And this one, you can see I did peak lock.
Look at that beautiful cake.
And then the final step, when I've done that, is I take the same thing. I take the queue DocuSign rejected, and I do a complete on it. And this time I pass the lock token from that trigger. So I just need to enable this one, because I think I disabled it. Yeah. So I enable this, and hopefully it will then run. I didn't check whether something actually was in the queue, whether the whole process worked. Let's just see. 853. Let's see if I did get that rejected process. Declined. There you go. Right. Okay. There you go. Right. Okay. So 856. So it's now picked that up. It's processing that. It's going to dump that in a file on my local file system. So if I go over here, there you go. I got the random number 424. And if I open this thing up, you can see it's got the envelope ID, the contents of that DocuSign envelope, to be able to track this and put it in my file system on-prem.
Awesome.
Okay.
Very, very cool. So honestly, We've only got 2 minutes left. We hit most of this. You can extend Logic Apps with your own custom connectors. You can use Service Bus for PubSub. John mentioned if you're interested in B2B or EDI, that's all possible. We weren't able to show you all of it, but exception handling, parallel, that's all there. All of the stuff you'd expect with an Azure service, like role-based access control, security, and such and such. And I talked extensively about Visual Studio. So Jim, you got 2 minutes to get them to act.
Thank you. Hey, a couple things. First of all, the surveys that you guys fill out, they know exactly how many of you are in the room, and so a no survey is like a negative survey, okay? It's believe it or not, it's really competitive to come to these events. Jeff, I'm not sure exactly what he did in order to get our team here, but that we were denied.
I've had a hard time sleeping all week.
We were like denied like 3 times, right? We're no one's interested in that topic. So if you can fill out that survey, you can be honest with the survey. It's just we want you to fill it out, all right? Because if only 20% of you fill it out, they take that as not interested. So if you could do that, that would be really helpful for us. Our marketing people see that. And it helps just, if you want us to come back, it helps for us to do that. We are here all until, we're here all week. I mean, we don't actually leave here until Sunday. So make appointments with everybody on the team. Kevin, come on up. And if you want one-on-one time, if you want to go find a place to sit and actually learn some stuff hands-on, these are the guys that write the product. So this is a great opportunity. I mean, if you are, it's invaluable to you if you want to have these guys sit down and show you how to do some of this stuff and walk you through it and shadow you and all that kind of stuff. That's what we're here for. We're here to do that kind of hands-on with you. So take advantage of it. Come up or see us outside if we get kicked out of the room. Come up and schedule a half-hour block, an hour block with this team and spend some time with them. That's why we're here. So we want to do that. So the play with the tutorials that we created, so you can follow along with what Scott Gu did in his demo. Try that. Let's test the 10-minute rule. Let us know if we came in at 9 minutes or 12 minutes when you did that. So we want to get some feedback on that. And then I just want to thank the team. I want to thank all of these guys for not only flying here and coming, but all of the work to put the demos together. These guys love being on the edge. You know, all of them love. Let's just build it live in front of everybody. You know, I'm sitting over there, and my heart's going like this, but they love doing it. They do that to me constantly, so I love that about them. But it also shows the power of the platform and what they can do. So did you guys enjoy it? Did you? Was it good? All right. Cool.
Thanks. Great.
Thank you.
It is, by the way, it's Logic Apps Demo. There's an S in there. So aka.ms Logic Apps Demo. And you can build Scott Guthrie's keynote in 10 minutes. Thanks, everyone.